morning I want to share with you the third in a series of Sunny Side Up, and I want to talk this morning about fire and water. A couple of weeks ago we spoke about the features and the benefits of being a Christian and how we use them and walk in them. Last week we spoke of windage and elevation, walking in the Holy Spirit and realizing our position in Christ. This morning I want to talk about fire and water. I want to talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit and the water that flows from us. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Would you pray with me? Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is true and righteous altogether. Lord, that it speaks very clearly to where we're at in this hour, to where we're going. Father, I thank you that you have benefited us with your presence. God, that you've taught us to walk in you, that you've given us revelation of where we're seated, and Lord, that you supply us with fire. Fire in our hearts, fire in our spirits, God, that you cause us to walk in your truth, that rivers of living water flow from us, O God. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise for that in Jesus' name. What Christ did in us cannot be undone because we did not do it, we did not earn it, we did not win it or otherwise do anything for it. What Christ did in us is such a blessing. Our position and power in Christ is just that. It is in Christ. If you're a Christian today, rest assured that God has taken care to give you everything that you need to walk in victory. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't leave anything to chance. He didn't leave anything that we would have to run and get in times of trouble, in times of attack, in times of questioning, in times of trial. In those times, God supplied for us everything that we need. Turn to somebody and say, I got everything I need. See, the key is accessing it. The key is accessing it whenever it's needed. And that takes faith. We can either take advantage of the secured, victorious state Christ has provided for us, or simply battle the things that have already been won for us. It's our choice. So many times we find ourselves battling for things that Christ has already provided for us. You don't need to battle for joy. Christ has already given it to you. You don't need to battle for peace. Christ has already given it to you. He said, peace I leave with you. You think he was talking to just a select few? How many know he gives us peace and joy? The staying power of Christ is the fun part of what we're going to talk about today. We have a power plant inside that provides the fire which keeps us. We have a power plant within us, fire of the living God. Whether we know it or not, he's there. Whether we know it or not, the power of the Spirit is there. It motivates us. Every day we awaken the coals that have been stoked by the Holy Spirit. When we wake up, the Holy Spirit is there to stir us and to get us going. He's faithful. Now we can choose to ignore that and focus on something else like pain or problems. I've lived long enough to know that I outlive most problems. How many could say amen? They look like we're not going to outlive them, but we do. Problems become blessings. The power plant within us captivates us. The fire of God is central to the life of every Spirit-filled Christian. The presence of God warming us and calling us. And also the power plant instigates us. The Holy Spirit sets us up constantly with divine appointments and opportunities if we'll just see them. So let's talk about this fire this morning. Charles Spurgeon said, the refiner is never far from the mouth of the furnace when his gold is in the fire, and the Son of God is always walking in the flames when his holy children are cast into them. The fire of God can sometimes be obtrusive. Fire of God burns whether we want it to or not, and it burns away the things that will harm us or retard our growth. And if we'll let the fire of God do it, it will burn away everything that's not His. The fire of God has been birthed within and is kept alive within. When Moses met with God, it was in a burning bush. On the mountain, when the children of Israel came, it burned with fire. In the tabernacle, it was fire. Pillar of fire that was seen every night was the power of God. God the Holy Spirit is represented by fire. He's none other than the fire of God. It's one of the things that sets us apart. It's one of the things that's light our path. It's one of the things that burns within us continually after being born again. And if we'll use that fire, it will burn away everything that's not of Him. You know, it would be wise for us to test everything in our life with fire before it's tested with the fire. Scripture says that all of our works will be tested as if by fire. Wood, hay, and stubble, and precious jewels, gold, silver, and precious jewels. How many know now's a good time to test all of the things that we are involved with? It will burn it up if it's not from God, and it will make it stronger if it is. The fun part of serving God is He allows us access to His fire. And He knows how to activate that fire and what it does. Here's some properties I thought about of the fire of God. Number one, it warms. His presence within allows constant updates from the throne. We know His guidance and His provision. He warms us. He keeps us close to Him by His fire. Fire also prepares, just like fire cooks and warms our food. The fire of God prepares the Scripture for us, opens our understanding. The fire of God is within each of us. Last week we spoke of Jeremiah 31. God says that we need not have someone teach us of His presence. Everyone will know from the least to the greatest. If you're a Christian today, you know God. If you're a Christian today, you know who He is. He speaks with you. Everyone, from the least to the greatest, knows Him. Fire is also lights. Direction and purpose are not just for the major decisions. The fire of God leads us and guides us. Not just in school. Glad to have Sierra with us today. How many know Sierra Mast is with us today from school? She's getting a whole new perspective on life. I pray for her. I don't know how liberal that school is, but maybe it's conservative. I don't know. I haven't talked with her, but direction and purpose are not just for the major decisions of where we'll go to school or who we'll marry or our children, our careers, or church. Direction and purpose come every day in the form of God lighting our way. How many know God takes care to light our way? If you've ever felt, God, why are you keeping me in darkness? That's not God. God doesn't keep us in darkness. He promises to light our way. How many know the God that promises He'll finish what He started is doing exactly that? He's working on us all the time. We need to change our regulatory thinking of who God is and how He deals with us. He's not a human being that kind of teases us or chases us away sometimes or draws us near other times. God is always near. God is always leading us. The fire of God is always in us. Guidance from the Lord is important every day. Walking in His revealed will. Try not leaving the house until you've prayed for God to show you divine appointments, interruptions, and revelations. And watch what happens. Before you leave the house in the morning, pray, God, give me divine appointments. Give me divine revelation. Show me how to walk this day and watch what God will do. Sometimes we miss the most powerful times of God using us because we have a schedule. Now, I don't want anybody to come to me and say, hey, I followed God and got fired because I didn't show up for work. That's not what I'm talking about. Come on, someone. I had a guy when my first church that worked as a, of all things, job coach in New York City. And he was one of these guys that wanted to talk about Jesus all the time. He'd shove a tract in your face, always carried a Bible. And just was oversaved, like we saw the video, too much. And so, you know, he'd use the fax machine at work. He'd use the phones to witness. He'd call people and spend 15 or 20 minutes talking to them about Jesus. And he got fired. He said, can you believe this company fired me? And he started telling me what he's doing. I said, I'd have fired you too. You're not there for that thing. Come on, someone. But that's another story. The fire of God also purifies. And that's where it gets sticky. Fire of God purifies. How many know Jesus is jealous? He wants our heart just for Him. The motivation and intents of the heart are laid bare when we yield to the Lord. This is not a guessing game. It's the exact like the rest of His creation. I started to ponder that this week. I wondered, you know, everything that I see in creation works like clockwork. Thanks whoever had the leaves dropping all over the worship today. I had to keep my eyes closed because leaves dropping means work. I have lots of leaves in my yard. Thank you very much for reminding me of the work that is ahead of me. But we can expect that because it's fall. I didn't know the meaning of fall until I moved into this house. Now, when fall means a lot to me, it means leaves are coming down to the ground. God is an exact God. Look at His creation. Everything is perfect. Everything is in order. And how can we expect the God that we serve to just be willy-nilly and just do whatever He wants in our lives? How many know God is a God of order? And He's ordering our lives. There's a purpose and a plan for everything we go through because we are owned by Him. Come on, somebody. That's where peace comes from. Whatever we're facing, we know that God has planned to bring us through it. No matter who caused it, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Fire of God purifies. The birth, death, and resurrection of Christ was perfectly timed. God has perfect timing for everything. And when He takes us through the purification process, it's to make us look and walk and talk like Him. We need to have great faith that God is leading us. Sometimes we rebuke the enemy. It doesn't have anything to do with the enemy. God is allowing us to go through things to burnish us, to strengthen us, to make us pure like gold and silver. Am I the only one that's ever read a passage of Scripture and it makes you feel bare and naked before God? You say, I don't know who this was written for before, but it's speaking right to my situation. Now, God, I'm exposed before You. Please heal me and help me. That's the purifying process of the fire of God within us. He is a God of order. And He will purify us for His own glory. Why? Because we are His representatives here on this earth. The fire of God burns within us. It marks us. We can't escape it. Misery, you want misery, try to hide the fire of God. It's misery. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, you don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. You set it on a lampstand so it's lighting. The fire of God lights our way, but it also lights us. We're lights to the world. Jesus said, didn't say you're light of the world if you want to be. Come on, somebody. Jesus didn't say, you're a salt of the earth if you want to be. He said, you are the light of the world. That means we are on display for the world. Whether we want to be or not, whether we feel like it or not, whether we say, God, I don't want to be on display today. Tough, you are. You can't not be what you are. Your very nature is light and salt. The fire of God is within us. Thank God for the fire. Thank God for the fire. God thought it was so important that He didn't send out His disciples without it. He thought it so important that His first face-to-face with man was in fire. He thought it so important that each and every one of the Israelites saw the pillar of fire. He felt it so important that on the mountain it was fire. Why? Because the fire of God is His presence in our lives. He could have used anything else. He could have used whatever. It's His creation. But He didn't. And the fire warms, it purifies. But let me tell you what, it also destroys. The fire of God destroys. When God burns things up, when He gets rid of things in our lives, leave them burned. Don't try to resurrect what Christ burned down. If you're trying to rebuild something that God got rid of, don't try to rebuild it. How many know sometimes people leave our lives because God said it's a good thing that they left your life? Am I talking to the right people this morning? Especially you young people, you're being attacked from all kinds of ways. Understand that God is not only loving you and drawing you, but He's destroying things in your life so that you'll be rid of them. His destruction is swiftly followed by His construction. The God that pulls up and plucks up also plants and builds. And He'll build something in you for eternity, for a lifetime. Allow God to burn the things that He needs to burn. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, John is saying, but He who is coming after Me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I've often talked about it, but I want to remind you this morning that you will go through a baptism of fire. Not only is the fire of God within you, but the fire of God is burning things away. The baptism of the Spirit is a magnifying in the presence of the Holy Spirit as the Lord of your life. That baptism now is in everything you do, whether or not you're aware of it or not. If you've been baptized in the Spirit of God is moving within you. And because He's moving within you, He will baptize you with fire. Why? Because He wants to get rid of all the things that are not Him and focus you on Him. It's the main thing that separates us from the world. Walking in the Spirit causes us not to walk in the flesh. And He'll burn those things away. Why? Because He owns us. And He is forming and shaping us. We look more like Him. This whole thing about Him being like us, we've got to get rid of that way of thinking. He's never going to be like us. Well, Jesus understands me because He was like me. No. He understands us because we are like Him. This thing about Him being like us is old way of thinking. He's not like us. As a matter of fact, when He came to us, He said, I'm going to have to kill you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put My Spirit within you and give you a new heart, and you're a new creation. I couldn't deal with the old, so I had to get rid of them. Christ is not becoming like us. We're becoming like Christ. Christ is not like us. He doesn't understand those things because He was us. He understands that because we are like Him. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. Each one of us has a power plant within. Enhances and marks our way. The Holy Spirit always listening for Christ and always relaying His words to us. Always. It's a fire that burns within. You want to talk about misery? Get away from that fire. When I was a boy, I forgot to stoke the furnace only once when it was my turn. I was growing up, we had to stoke the coals at 3:30 in the morning. So when Dad got up for work at 5:30, it was warm in the house. Anybody have to do that? Any of you older folks have to do that kind of stuff? We had a big coal bin, so you shoveled coal in there. I only forgot once. In my third ear heard, you know, 1, 2, 3 years. My third ear heard why I should be up stoking coals when it's my turn. Christ never forgets to stoke the coals of fire in our life. Ignoring it, trying to get away from it, just causes frustration. God is stoking all the time. And He didn't send out His disciples until each one of them had the fire of God in them. It was signified by the fire being on top of them. The fire of God was in them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, the fire of God. The fire of God within. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your fire. Thank you, Jesus, that awakens me in the middle of the night. How many have been woken up by the fire of God in the middle of the night asking God, asking you to pray? That's the fire of God. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, verse 13, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And I say to you again, Christian, let the fire of God burn now and not then. Because now something can be done about it. Toss the things that are not of Him in the fire of God that exists within you. We have the fire within to assist us in building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. God doesn't warn us to scare us. He warns us because in that day, everything will be burned. Tested as if by fire, the Scripture says. Revealed it by fire. The work of the Lord within cannot be affected by fire. Just as rare metals only grow purer in the fire, so will the work of Christ in our life. But rest assured, every work will be tested. And sometimes it's the hardest struggle in the world to throw things in the fire that you love. Things that are near and dear to your heart that you love. That you have to get rid of if you're going to go any further with Christ. Come on, someone. Every work will be tested. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Again, one of the aspects of God, He consumes all that is not Him. His presence is sometimes intrusive and demanding. He destroys that which is not of Him. Why? Because He has every right to. Another scripture, 1 Peter 1:7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You want strong faith? Then it's going to be tested by the fire of God. Whether those things that are at the base of your relationship with Him are wood, hay, and stubble, or precious jewels, our faith is tested by fire. The real will be separated from the fake. That fire is revealing and final. The fire of God is not judgment. God doesn't burn things for judgment. That will happen on one day. He's burning it to have mercy on us. The fire of God burns away that which is not His, for mercy so that we'll know God even more than we ever thought we could. The mercy of the fire of the living God. That fire is the presence of Holy Spirit in our lives. Second aspect I want to talk this morning about, just keeping you a few more minutes, is the water of the Holy Spirit. You know, the body needs about 3 quarts of water a day to operate efficiently. It helps break up and soften food. The blood, which is 90% H2O, carries nutrients to the cells. As a cooling agent, water regulates our temperature through perspiration. And without its lubricating properties, our joints and muscles would grind and creak like unused parts of some old rusty machinery without water. Water is man's greatest necessity. With it, no child can thrive, no nation can exist. What is the word that you hear from the lips of the traveler lost on the face of the scorched desert? Water. What is the word that you hear on the lips of the sick and feverish man as he tosses on his bed? Water. What is the piteous appeal and murmur that you hear on the lips of the wounded in battle as they lie on the field of carnage? Water. Water is so very important. Jesus, when he came in contact with Nicodemus in the middle of the night, he answered in John 3:5, and he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The Word and the Holy Spirit is what he was talking about. The water of the Word. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. The fire of God within and the water of God in our lives. It's so very, very important that we assume the position of our eyes in this Word every day, that we might know Him, the living Word. Come on, someone. We can't just do it once a week, twice a week. It's got to be on a daily basis. Once the Word is revealed, it causes us to be born again. That's how you and I came to Him, through the Word. That must take place. I get concerned when I hear about all the quick prayers that people have and they get saved. A mental assent is still unsaved. Somebody just praying a prayer doesn't mean they're saved at all. They must be washed by the water of the Word, convicted by the Holy Spirit. Caution needs to be taken when telling someone they're saved. A mere acknowledgement of the Scriptures or a sliver of the truth does not a Christian make. Come on, somebody. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John 4. Jesus, speaking to the woman at the well, gives us focus on this very important subject of the water of the Word. Jesus answered and said to her at the well in verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." The woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it Himself as well as His sons and His livestock?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Come on, someone. Wake up this morning. Verse 13 again. "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Verse 14. This is a promise for us. "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him," how many drank of the water that Jesus gave you? "Will never thirst." So the enemy comes and tells us that we're away from God, that we're thirsty, that we need God. God said, "We'll never thirst." Jesus said, "But the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The water is that's given is living water, the contents of which are heavenly ingredients. This life-giving water is our daily experience. Not a day goes by without the water of the Word, Jesus cleansing us, guiding us, teaching us, and valuing us. We know who we are. Jesus tells us how much He loves us. There's not a day goes by that Jesus isn't washing us with His Word. He is the Word. He lives within us. Come on, somebody. That life-giving water is our daily experience. He's here all the time. He's always doing His job. Out of a love relationship with us, He's soaking us with His presence all the time. I challenge you this week to jot down every time you sense the guidance of the Lord. You'll be surprised. Take a slip of paper, put it on the refrigerator or on your table, and every time you sense the guidance of the Lord, carry it in your wallet. Say, God, I just sense Your presence right now. We get so used to it sometimes that we just take it for granted, but the presence of God is precious. It's life-giving water. The life-giving water multiplies like everything in the Word does. A fountain of water springing up. Listen very carefully. If you don't hear anything else this morning, notice that Christ speaks matter of fact. His point will be missed by some. It is not if or who is qualified or who is a candidate. It is whoever. I want to know who is whoever. Say, I'm whoever. God's not pre-qualifying you. God's not saying, I'll pour out on you, but I won't pour out on you. Whoever drinks of this water, the water will grow as a spring welling up within you. A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I looked it up in the original language, and guess what it meant? A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Actually, one of the things I looked at mentioned our artesian well. Artesian well is a well from which water flows under natural pressure without pumping. Think about this now. You got the fire of God in you. It's not quenched by the water of God. And you got the water of God that doesn't quench the fire of God. Come on, somebody. Smokey the Bear ain't got nothing on us. This life-giving water multiplies. It's an artesian well. It's springing up whoever. Listen, whoever. But the water that I shall give him or her will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say if you qualify. It doesn't say if you sense it. It doesn't say you must do this or you must do that. He said, whoever drinks of this water, it will multiply in you. Woo! Come on, somebody, get excited. God is putting the water of His presence in your life, and it's growing exponentially every day. Notice, Christ speaks matter-of-factly. That living water is flowing supernaturally to you every day without fail. He's asking us to live in that flow, the fire in your belly and water in your spirit. Water equals knowledge, practical Christianity. John chapter 7 and verse 38. Turn there with me. John chapter 7 and verse 38. These are statements of fact, not elective statements. These are not statements that you can either take or leave. These are statements about what's happening in you right now. If you believe in me, Jesus said, he who believes in me. How many believe in Jesus? All right. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Watch now, because Christ has said in us, rivers of living water are flowing. The only way that that can stop is if we dam it up with all the stuff that life gives us. We dam it up with worries. We dam it up with concerns. We dam it up with politics. We dam it up with end of the world predictions. We dam it up with all kinds of things. And God said, it's not about that. I'll take care of all that. I want to flow out of you. Not only do I want you to be a light, and not only do I put my fire in you, but water is running out of you. My living water is running from you. Wherever we go, and the only thing that can dam it up is us. Believe me, I'm probably not the only one, but I've tried. It's like the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. Ain't going to work long. Because Christ wants to get His life-giving Spirit to us. He wants to get it through us to the world. Ephesians 5:26 says that He might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the Word. The water of the Word is there to cleanse and sanctify us and purify us. Just a few scriptures in closing. Ezekiel 36:25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Do you know right now that you're pure before God? Preacher, I don't feel very pure. Well, tough, Christ calls you pure. Come on, someone. You need to leave all that old devil stuff that tells you you're not good enough, that you're not... God built a dam around you. Rivers of living water flow out of everybody else, but it's not flowing out of you. Let me tell you, if you are a Christian, God lived up to His side of the covenant. He lived up to His side of the covenant. Come on, somebody get excited. He lived up to His part of the covenant. He put His fire in you. He causes living water to flow from you. He fills you daily. He ministers to you daily. He talks to you daily. He is living up to His side of the bargain. You need your spiritual ears cleaned out. But watch what it's clean from. Go to the Word of God yourself. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Come on, someone. It's good to hear messages. It's good to hear TV shows. It's good to hear those things where people are talking about the Lord. Those are good things. They're not bad things. But when we get focused on somebody else's trip, somebody else's thing, somebody else's revelation, somebody else's trying to sell you a tape, somebody else trying to get you thinking like they're thinking, find out what the Holy Spirit is saying to you in this hour. And you'll find out when you do that, how alike you're hearing like everyone else. God does not get glory from telling everybody else what's going on and not us. We are not this day that's we're talking about. How many know we're closer to the return of Christ than we've ever been? This day will not come upon you suddenly. Christ is not going to just come without letting you know. You might not know the day and the hour. The scripture says we don't know the day and the hour, by the way. So September 23rd is coming and going. Just saying. I think it's the 24th. And unless I'm still dreaming, I think we're still here. Power washed my house yesterday. Every muscle in my body is sore, so I still feel very much alive. Christ will let us know when those things are happening. We won't have to hear an announcement from some yahoo over in China. I want to tell everybody that God spoke to me. God loves His children. He'll speak to us. The water, the fire, the presence of God in our lives, He'll speak to us. He'll ready us. He'll prepare us. This day will not come upon you, Paul says, suddenly. He's coming as a thief in the night to the lost. He's not coming as a thief in the night to the saved. Why would He come for His bride as a thief? Come on, someone. Read the Bible, man. When the virgins, you know, somebody announced, here comes the groom. I'm just saying. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. Say, I'm washed. But you were sanctified. Say, I'm sanctified. But you were justified. Say, I'm justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He said, well, if all that thing is taken care of, what am I supposed to do? Be about the work of the Lord. You're fixed. You don't need fixed again. Come on, somebody. You're whole. You don't need made whole if you're whole. You're not hearing me. Come on, somebody. Hey, will you be about the work of the Lord? Be about telling somebody else about what you found. And finally, in closing, when you know that's a general term, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's a promise. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Woo! Man, I'll tell you what. That's good stuff. He takes care of our conscience. That I'm pure in front of Him. I don't have to back up to hear God's voice. I don't have to be ashamed. I can face Him. By the blood of Christ, we enter the holy place. It's by His blood that we enter into the holy place. Come on, somebody. It's not by my works. Because if it were by my works, I'd be about as far from heaven as I could get. Come on, somebody. We approach Him boldly. Because He's filled us with His fire. We approach Him boldly because He soaked us with His Word. The Word and the Spirit together. It's all Him. It always was Him. It's not me. I'm not completing anything. I'm not adding anything. I can't add one thing to the kingdom. Can't do it. He's complete. He fills all in all. All I can hope to be is part of Him. And I've often said it, but I want you to know right now that my little toe on my right foot is very glad that I'm here today. And it wants to say hello. You never see it. You never hear it. But thank God I got it. We are part of the body of Christ. He gets all the glory. He fills all in all. He's the one that's going to get the prize at the end, the bride. He is the one that's going to have every knee bow and every tongue confess. It ain't going to be Jesus and Rick. It ain't going to be Jesus and the guy who guesses His return. It's going to be Jesus. And we get to be part of Jesus. We are part of Jesus. And you better believe He's going to take care of His body. Just like we're supposed to take care of ours. Come on, somebody. So all this rigmarole about working and about worrying and about anxiety and about God, am I right, am I wrong? Leave that stuff up to God. God says, rivers of living water will flow from you. God says, the fire of God He'll baptize you with. You better believe He's not forgotten. He's not senile. He's not forgotten those things. His promises are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. And He'll do the things He promised us to do. Fire and water, you better believe. I've got the fire of the Holy Ghost in me all the time and rivers of living water are flowing from me. Because He's my King. So Father, today, Lord, today, while it is today, God, would You fix some hearts this morning? Would You just bring them into focus of who You are and what You are, God? I pray for those that are struggling right now. I know some people right now in this room are struggling with this truth. Lord, they feel like they've been abandoned. Lord, they feel like they've been left behind. But Lord, You're right there with them. You've never left or forsaken them, God. God, I pray for a great healing in their hearts and their minds. They might know, God, that You are always actively involved with them. Lord, I pray for that revelation to come to each one of us today, God. God, that we would leave differently than we came. That we would go as super Christians, God. Supernaturally filled with You. With Your fire. And with Your grace. With Your mercy. With Your Word. Lord, that not only we are lights, but we are life-giving force in this area, God. God, that the places we go, the work that we work at, the neighborhood that we live in, When we come in touch with the earth people, God, they're going to know that they've come in touch with a child of the living God. Oh, Father, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy in our lives. Continue to do what You're doing, God. Father, I pray for a great touch by Your Spirit, even all day today, Father, that we would look to the blessings that You've given us, Father, that we'd focus on that according to Your loving kindness and mercy, we pray. Amen. Amen.